Hi, my name is Lise, and I am one of the eight contestants for the Eurovision Song Contest 2025 in Belgium. And you're listening to the Building Bridges podcast.
Take it away. Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Dave, and this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. Well, welcome to our final Belgium week episode. It's actually bittersweet. The week has just flown by. We've already heard from Le Manu, Red Sebastian, and Grace. And I know the thumbnail and title of this episode have already ruined the surprise, but I can now reveal that our final interview is with Lise, who will compete in Eurosong with her entry, Perfectly Imperfect. Let's take a quick listen. Oh, you've taken me through hell, but you taste like heaven. We're just perfectly imperfect together. Beautiful. Well, the full version of Perfectly Imperfect will be released on the 25th of January with all eight Eurosong entries. And of course, that's just a week before the live show. When Jan and I spoke with Lise a while back, we knew nothing about the song, just a heads up. We didn't even know the title at that point. And of course, if she had said too much, that would have broken her contract. She would have gotten in a lot of trouble. So just bear that in mind when you're listening. So, really quick, some facts about Lise before we hear from her in the interview. Of course, Lise is a stage name. Her full name is Lisa van Rossum. She tried to represent Belgium actually in Junior Eurovision in 2005. She had to wait about a decade. Her big break came in 2016 when she appeared on The Voice of Flanders, as many of our contestants in Eurosong this year have done. She is the little sister of Belgian star Meteor. He's huge in Belgium. You'll find him on Instagram everywhere as well. And she often is found singing with him on tour, doing backing vocals, duets, etc. Lots of that on YouTube if you want to have a look. Also, she, interestingly enough, was even a part of the reason her brother got discovered, which is a really cool story, but I'll at least tell that story. So without any further ado, let's hear from Lisa. I actually found a pretty cool fact about you. And I want to know if it's true, because your name isn't on Wikipedia, but I went back. Apparently, this isn't actually your first time trying to get onto a Eurovision stage.
No,
it's been 20 years. Is that true?
Exactly 20 years, but like exactly 20 years. And that's, I was in 2005, I was competing with a friend of mine for the Eurovision Song Contest for Kids here in Belgium. We didn't make it to actually represent Belgium on the stage, but it was a huge experience that we had. And that's why I've waited to compete now, because I really wanted to be like the 20 years after, and maybe we can now have the full circle moment, who knows.
Who was, like, over the years, who were your musical influences, or, like, I would say, some sort of favorite artist growing up since that time, which evolved you as an artist?
Yeah, there have been several. Like, we have one when I was 10 years old. We have a very famous artist here in Belgium who's called Natalia. They also say that we sound and look alike. And when I was a little child, they always called me like little Natalia. So that was, for me, when I was very little, a very big influence, as well as Anastasia. That was one of our first singles that we ever bought, me and my brother. And now later on, I do think it's more of the pop rocky singers, for example, as Pink. I do really like Lady Gaga. Those are the women who are a little bit more ballsy, and I do think have great voices and great songs. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought from reading your bio, I think Jan and I and you musically, I think we're pretty straight on. Okay. This is going to be a good interview. I can feel it already.
Yes, indeed.
So back to Eurosong. So how did that happen this year? Because obviously, the Flemish broadcaster takes over every second year, and we didn't see you in 2023. So why this year? Why 2025? How did it all come about?
Yeah. So in 2023. I got the suggestion to maybe think about the fact of entering the competition as well. Back then, I didn't feel like I was mentally prepared for something like Eurovision, as it is very hard for an artist. It's the most beautiful experience, but you need to be there, actually. So I needed to still grow a little for me to be where I am now. And then also because it's exactly 20 years ago that I've done Eurovision for kids. And then, yeah, I think around April, May, Belgium, they send out a request to several artists to maybe write a song for Eurovision and to enter the competition. And I went to an audition in September, I think. And then somewhere at the end of September, they announced that I was one of the 8 contestants here.
Oh, so they went to you. That's really cool.
Yeah, they just, but it's not only me, I think it's 40, 50 candidates, you know, whoever wants to, they just send it out to all artists here in the Flemish part, of course. And whoever fancies to enter can enter, but then they know that there is a competition and that you can think about being part of it or not.
You know, whenever you try to be a part of competitions like Eurosong, you really, whenever you try to be a part of it, you really need to know if you have a good song. When was that feeling when you had your song, which is going to be a part of Eurosong Belgium 2025, that this is the right one and that this is the song that you wanted to be represented by?
Yeah, so I had several writings. I think in total we wrote 17 songs, I think, around about that. Mm-hmm. But the first session, we wrote the song that I'm actually going to use. And we were like, we're done. We have it. You know, we immediately felt like this could be the one. But of course, you want to have several options and maybe you can still step it even more. You can step it up. But in the end, we were re-listening to all the songs that we've written. And yeah, the first one was still gold. We still needed to tweak because I think we have 7 versions of the song. But you know, the gut feeling and the overall experience of the song was like, yeah, we need to go with that song.
I think speaking for Eurovision fandom, having 7 versions of one song ending up on some EP would sound like a dream, I would say. So this is probably, you know, you should just, you know, just get it somewhere and it's going to be for the Eurovision fandom, you know, so we all live for different versions of an amazing songs. Yeah.
So speaking of that song now, at the time of recording anyway, we and the fan community, we don't really know anything. We don't even know the song title. So how tight-lipped has the broadcaster made you been? Like, what, if anything, are you allowed to even say about the song?
Well, I cannot share the title, even though I really, really want to, because I really love it. So it's kind of like hard for me right now, but I can tell you something about the feel that it gives. And for me, it's very important to share a message that goes a little deeper. And even though the song is created that it can fit everybody, there for me, there is a way more deeper meaning in there that can I need to say what I'm going to say so I don't say too much. I can give people comfort that they're okay the way they are. Because for me, it's also, I'm not the skinniest artist. I'm also not the biggest artist, you know. I'm very normal. And these days, being normal is almost like not good enough. And I want to say, like, the way you are, you're good enough. That's my general message that I want to send to everybody all the time, and it's somewhere hidden in the song maybe as well. It's not really completely about that, but there are some nuances in the song that really, for me, indicate that you need to be enough with the way you are. Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting some like Pink, like badass vibes here, like kind of like So What, you know?
No, we're not gonna go there. But for me, it's a genre that fits me perfectly. I do think, and maybe that's a little bit weird, but I do think it's in the genre of Eurovision itself. I do think Eurovision is a genre, and I really love that genre, and we went for that genre. So.
Okay. Are you allowed to say, because I know you sing both in Flemish and English, are you allowed to say if you're going to do one or the other, or maybe a bit of both?
Yeah, I'm going to sing full in English, because for me, my solo project is completely in English. I do perform in Flemish with my brother, sings in Flemish. So I do the both, but for me, when I create music, it's mostly in English, because I do think that language sounds better with my voice. It has certain sounds that make my voice sound better, so it's English.
But it's obviously so different if you just stay on the languages. Like, it's so different when it comes to performing in different languages. I think it's also different personality, I would say, coming out of you if you're performing in different language, right? So it's probably different from the Flemish way.
Yeah, exactly. And also like a different sound, because now I'm talking in English to you guys. But when I talk in Flemish, most likely my voice will change a little of color or sound. So, and that's the same in music. So,
singing. You mentioned your brother before. He's also a famous singer in Belgium. What's it like to having someone so close to you in the same industry? Is it more like competitiveness or more like collaboration?
Yeah, I am very lucky on that side, because at first he wasn't in music. I was the one who started when I was 8. I went to music school. I went did Eurovision for kids. I was always singing, and he was more of the sporty guy. He was a football player and a personal trainer, but he was always too scared to sing. But then one night we came home from hanging out, and we were like a little bit hungover at that time, and we were at the breakfast table. And we started singing, jamming a little, and I was naughty enough to start recording it without him knowing it. And at that time, I was still one of the contestants at The Voice of Flanders here in Belgium. And I needed to go to the studio to record something. And I said like, hey, you know, I have a brother who can sing as well. Do you want to listen to what he's doing? But he was hungover, you know? So I just, I let them hear the recording. And he was completely a fan. And then I think 2 weeks later, he went to the studio and they fell in love with him and he signed. And I think 6 years later, he's now one of the biggest artists here in Belgium. And I get the question often if I'm not jealous, because it was, you know, my dream, because I started first. Yeah. But the lovely part about it is that I'm in his band. I am his backing vocal. He does a lot of duets with people from the Netherlands who rarely visit one of the shows because it's too far away. So I do the duets with my brother. So I have like everything of both. I don't need to miss out on anything. I can be on stage and experience everything that he's experiencing. So that's like one of the biggest gifts I think you can have as a brother and a sister, to share the stage already for 3 to 4 years. Yeah,
that's got to be so cool. I never would have thought to ask if you were jealous, because I found his Instagram as well. And you can see parts where you're there, and like at no point do you look at all jealous. It's like you're just having the best time of your life with your brother. And I, as an only child, I can only imagine how cool that must be.
Yeah, because he has a very busy schedule. So if I was not in his band, I would most likely not see him that often. But I really love him to bits. We're really close. So I am happy that I see him almost every week, because we are on stage together. And there is something magical and very special when a brother and a sister share a stage. Yeah.
Right. So on that note, the question I thought of, since you collaborate on his stuff so much, what are the odds that we either might see him on stage on February 1st, or even behind the scenes somehow helping you out with the project, maybe as a writer or just stage director and anything, some involvement somewhere?
The chances are very, very, very small.
Oh.
yeah, he's like very limited in time, because he does a lot of TV shows, so he's completely go every day going for the full 100% for his own projects. And I do think, as we already do much together, the songwriting for his songs he also does alone. We only share the stage. But that he has, like, now Lisa has to do her thing and I want to do my thing. And even though we are very close, our creative way of thinking is still different. So for me, it's nice to have my own thing, and he will be there to support me in the audience. But behind the scenes or with the song or everything, he's not that involved. Of course, if I have version 5 finished, I let him hear it. And he says, like, ah, maybe this. And then you end up with 7 versions of the song. So I do appreciate his opinion. But for the rest, for the act and everything, no, he's not really involved.
You had your song Toxic Lullaby with such a summer vibe to do it. Eurovision will be here in May. Do you have any plans in this song to be like another summer hit, or do you have some more releases coming?
Good thing about writing 17 songs for Eurovision is that you have a lot of songs here that you also like who could be like really good singles. I've written with people from Canada as well. A girl, Cassie, who I wrote a very, very, very nice song with. But also with teams from Sweden and the UK. And I do think, I have so many songs that I still want to share. But now it's like planning out what would be the best date to release. If I weren't to go to Eurovision, of course, I will probably release earlier. But if I am lucky enough to represent Belgium, that will probably be later on in the year. So that's still something that we need to figure out. But there will be new music.
Okay, we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah. Again, getting back to the Eurovision theme, I mean, mm-hmm. every recording I've seen of you on stage, you just look so comfortable, so natural. Is that something that's developed, I guess, over the years where you've been in the industry so long? Or is that something that you've had to really cultivate and work on? Because I'm thinking, like, for a Eurovision-type show, I mean, we're watching on TV, it looks so easy, but I'm sure as a performer you're thinking, like, oh my God, camera angles, I got to keep smiling, no hair across my face, you know, all these little micro things that we wouldn't think of. It seems mm-hmm. like that for you is just so natural. So how do you think that's going to play into the show in February?
I do think that at first it was in my nature. When I was a child, I didn't think too much. I just did. And I couldn't care of what other people think. You know, I was like kind of fearless on that part. Then as you get older, you start to think a little more. So things get a little scarier, I think. And also because you start to realize what the pressure is and that you really want to have a career. So that makes you think a little bit more. But I was lucky enough to ran a lot of miles on stage with my brother, which I see when I see tapes back from 4 years ago, I wasn't the artist that I am now. So I learned a lot by standing and performing with my brother. So that does a lot. And right now for camera angles, yeah, it does put a lot of pressure on you to, because you, for people who do choreo, they need to remember the choreo, the camera, but still sing good. And it's like everything needs to fall into place. On that note, I am lucky enough to have ADHD, and I'm very capable of thinking about 20,000 things at the same time. Yeah, so I am comfortable that when I practice and rehearse enough, that I will be okay. But that will be a key part that I don't need to think anymore. And that my body remembers everything that I need to do, and then everything will be okay. So I'm quite comfortable with that. Yeah.
Since the preparation, I'm sure, probably started for the show in February, do you know at least the drafted idea? What do you actually want for your performance to look like? Or are you already in the talks with VRT about staging? Like, you, and if there is something that you can share with us regarding that, what would your dream way of performance be if you would be in charge with unlimited resources to do so?
Well, for me, I'm not like the big show fan for my project. Also, I struggle with epilepsy, so lighting, I always need to tone down a little. But for me, as my music is already big, I love the act to be the complete opposite. And now for Eurovision, I had a very clear idea. I'm a very visual person. When I'm writing a song, I immediately envision how it should look like. And 4 to 5 years ago, I was on Instagram and I know some dancers here in Belgium. And I saw one of the dancers that I know perform in a routine created by a choreographer in France now. And I was a huge fan of her work as she is not the regular dancers, but very expressive. And like, you don't need to be beautiful there, but she's like theatrical, dance, something in between that, a little bit more unconventional in her choreography. And when I was writing this song, I immediately thought of her. So when we made it the decision to pick this song, and when we were selected to be one of the 8 contestants, we immediately reached out to her to see if she wanted to collaborate with us, and she was immediately on board with everything. So we already started to create and put a mood board together, and like kind of finalize the concept even before we went to a meeting with VRT. So they were kind of unable to put anything in between that. But that's also because I do think our concept is very strong and it will be very expressive as me as well. When I talk and when I do everything, my head moves everywhere, my facial expressions go everywhere. So I do think that that will fit my personality as well, to have something on stage that's very expressive and also with movement, because I danced when I was little as well. So yeah, it will be not a very conventional dancing act, no.
Sounds so exciting, I think.
I'm very excited as well. I think last week we started with the first part of the choreo, and I love it. So yeah, very exciting to see how it turns out.
So you've done the kids' Eurovision. You mentioned already you did The Voice, which I think is a much more, I guess, similar TV show to what you're getting into with Eurovision, and that was about 10 years ago as well. Have you found any similarities on your voice journey and your Eurovision journey, or are these two very different types of projects?
For me, it's completely different, because when you're competing in The Voice, you're there as Lisa, the girl who everybody knows, who has her own music but never released anything, and you want to start a music career. Now, all the 8 contestants are there as an artist. And I do think that that point of view is completely different. I know what I stand for. I know my message that I want to give. You write your own song. You're not covering anything, you know. For The Voice, it's all about how are you on stage and what do you sound like? But this is like, what are you telling us? What are you showing us? This is completely different, because you can be part of the whole creative process as well. Like in February, I will be able to show everybody what's going on in my head. And I think that this competition is way more beautiful in that way, because, you know, I can be part of the complete and total package of the whole creative process, not only the song, but also visual, because it's still Eurovision. And I pr appreciate this very much as an artist, yeah.
Have you been able to listen to any of other songs from the competition from the other artists, or are you still keeping it as a surprise
You
until
got a
the
sneak peek, didn't
No. We had on Tuesday, so 2 3 days ago, we had recordings for reality TV with all the 8 artists, and we were in a van, 4 of us in each van, and then they dropped the bombshell that we were going to listen to each other's songs
Oh,
demo.
wow.
But still, yeah, and even if definitely when it's a demo. You know, I do think that all artists who are listening now can relate that it's very scary to let other people hear a demo. I thought that that was a very, very, very vulnerable moment, because you're all in the same position, and it's all always scared, I think, to release a song into the world. And when you need to let other artists who are very critical of everything listen, I hear your song. I was like, no, very scared. But piece by piece, they're brilliant songs. So I'm really, really sure that whoever is chosen to represent Belgium will have a good one there on stage. And now it's just to see who it's going to be, of course, yeah.
So when What do you know yet when VRT will allow them to be heard? Like, will we hear them for the first time on stage, or will they come out a little bit before the show?
No, we have two pre-rounds where we'll announce four contestants in every episode. So the first episode, four contestants will sing their song, and also their two songs in total, each artist. And then after the first two episodes, when every artist is introduced and you've heard their song, then they will release. So 1 week up front of the actual live show where people can vote. So yeah, we still need to wait a little.
A little 2 weeks. Long.
So if we turn to Eurovision now, are you a fan yourself? Did you watch it in the past, or do you have any favorite song from the contest? How big is Eurovision in your maybe personal and musical life, I would say?
Yeah, in my personal life, we used to watch it also with the family. And, you know, I do think that a lot of families do it when they have the paper and start scoring for themselves what they really like. So as a kid, Eurovision was really a big thing. I do think as you're older and everything starts going around that we're not that involved anymore, even though we watched it, of course, but not upfront or are starting to do research on who is going to compete and which artist is which going to send out. So that kind of toned down a little, because I was also limited in time, because I'm working still and doing my own project and doing my brother's project, so I'm working 7 days out of seven. Music wise, especially the past few years, I do think that has had a more prominent impact on my music choices, because when I listen to the song, for example, Who Won from the Netherlands, Arcade by Duncan Lawrence, I think like, oh, that was for me, the first song that really hit me and was a pop song with not that much going on stage and just centered on the purity of his voice. So that kind of gave me also a direction like, oh, it's not all about hear what I can do. Like, you know, I can hit the high notes. No, it starts with purely his voice, his emotion, his color of his voice, you know, all little details that you hear. So that was for me like, less is more, actually. Yeah. Of course, you need to build up in a song, but in the beginning, less is more. And then also with Laureen, she's completely my style as an artist. So of course, I do pick up some influences of her, because the songs that she makes would be definitely Lee songs, you know. I would love to sing them. Even like Tattoo, I sang it the whole summer because it was one of the songs in my set list for the summer tour. So yeah, for me, it quite literally had an impact because I was performing it the whole summer. Yeah.
So this is the second version of Eurosong. So in a way, if you win this, you'll be more so taking over the torch from Gustav than Musti. Did you see his performance in Liverpool? And do you have any comments? Yeah.
Yeah, I love Gustav. I really love him. We've done some projects together already. So I just love him as a person. I love him as an artist. And I think his performance was eye-opening with also the message, like the queer message that he sent, but not like out there in a tasteful way, I think he brought it with, you know, just being him. He was on stage with his best friends because his backing vocals were his best friends, or are his best friends. And it was so honest, like the whole thing, like the visuals, the colors of the outfit, it all matched. And it was like a team effort, because I don't know if it's his husband or a boyfriend. I don't know if they're married or not, but he made the visuals, you know. It was like one family friend event, and it was so authentic. And I do think that the authenticity of the whole act and song brought him where he came. Yeah,
and he's so authentic. We interviewed him, and I told him he made me cry, then I made him cry, because I remember watching Eurosong, and when he won, he genuinely just seemed so shocked, like he couldn't believe anyone would vote for him, right? And then the same thing happened in Eurovision when he started getting 12 points. He had the same look on his face, like, no, you're fucking awesome. Like, you deserve this, you know? So it was, yeah, I'm very excited to see if you can take this over and go on. I can't wait to see it in February for sure.
Yeah, but I did have a chat with him before I entered the competition because I wanted to be sure what it's all about. And I, of course, when you have the opportunity, when you're on the same show or something, then you can have that chat. So, and he even like suggested that if you want to, and if you are in some way elected to represent Eurovision, I'm always open to join you to Switzerland and to be by your side to guide you. So that even
Wow,
shows
that's so nice.
more how much of a sweet person he is. And I really, really sincerely adore him. Yeah.
Well, you've got a 1 in 8 shot. That's pretty damn good. And
Good, I think.
yeah, that's
Chances are
fantastic.
good.
No, and if it happens, and we hope it does, I mean, he's been before as backing vocals. Like, he knows Eurovision inside and out. So I hope if you win, you take his advice and have him kind of shadow you on your journey. I think that would be
Yeah, and
fantastic.
if I don't win, he can join one of the other artists to share his wisdom and his guidance with. So.
We are really running out of time, especially when we are having so much fun, Liz. Maybe just after Eurosong, what kind of plans do you have set? There's some music coming up. Do you have any festivals or maybe concerts planned for 2025? What is in your cards?
For now, nothing really particular because the bookings, they of course they are probably going to start like mostly in January, February. But last summer we had a very busy concert tour in the summer, so probably that will be there. Also in March and April, I will be doing a little show like in the small arenas here in Belgium or small venues. So that will be my first club tour that I will be doing as Lise, which I'm looking forward to as well. And then, yeah, new music. And I hope that we can just go have that little lift from this experience and that we can keep on producing good music and hopefully starting to touch more souls here in Flanders. Because right now, there is a select group who knows my work and who loves my work. But I'm hoping to touch more souls here in Flanders and that they will finally know who Lise is and that they will appreciate me as an artist. Yeah.
Well, you've truly entered the Eurovision bubble now, so you can expect your Instagram to blow up, and you're gonna get a lot of new followers and new listeners
I'm
just
not
because
prepared. Not prepared.
it's a journey. You'll see, it's a journey. So, for those new Eurovision fans around the world, do you have any last? I know they can't vote for you, but maybe you have a message in Dutch or in Flemish too to your Belgian listeners. Any last words for the fans?
Yeah, I will first start in English. Like, the fans, you are so important because you are the only reason that we are able to do what we are doing. Because if there were no fans, we would have nothing to do. Thanks for understanding me and appreciating me as an artist as well. When you're on my shows, you can see a little bit deeper inside of me because I share a lot and I appreciate the fact that people then even start to love me more. So, I love you all. Very, very, very much. And I hope to see you somewhere when I may be performing. So,
Hopefully in May in Switzerland. Fingers crossed.
who knows? Who knows?
Thank you so much, Liz, for joining us. We wish you all the best. We will be obviously following your journey on Eurosong next year.
Yeah.
And until then, good luck, and thank you so much again for taking your time for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for inviting me to your
Thank you.
podcast.
Danke, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Big, big thank you again to Lise for meeting with us. We truly enjoyed that chat. But the sad news is that's it. Our Belgian week is over. We've spoken with half of the 8 Eurosong contestants. One out of two chance we've heard from the winner. We've heard from the Belgian representative for Eurovision 2025. Crazy to think. February 1st is coming. It's going to be a mad, mad, mad month. So many national finals. Make sure you're free every Saturday evening CET because, I mean, you're going to need like 5 or 6 screens every Saturday just to keep everything going, keep on top of everything, all the different finals. But anyway, that's it for Belgium. If you missed anything or you want to know more about the artists from Belgium we spoke to this week, head over to @buildingbridgespod on Instagram and TikTok. We're also on X and Facebook. You'll find us with a quick Google. We've got all the links you'll need to keep up to date with these artists and find the episode notes as well. And now that Belgium Week is in the books, I guess we're back to our regular scheduled podcast, which, of course, again, if you followed us for a while, you know is no schedule at all. We post when we have interviews. And, of course, this time of year is a very hectic time. We're going to keep posting interviews as long as we can find artists willing to take a few minutes to chat with us and bring us their message and talk about their songs to us, the Euro fans. That's what we do. So that's all from us from La Belgique. We'll be back already on Monday with our next episode, and we're going to build a bridge to another country that is also very close to its national final. So from that, I'll say ciao for now.